This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention.
This is Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb. We're with Ian McDougall. He is the volunteer chairman for the Canadian Air and Space Museum in Toronto. Now, Ian, it's been a kind of a mixed up week. One day you were closed, one day you were open, and now you're closed. What's going on and what's the genesis of all this?
Mixed up is an incredibly good way to describe it. The reality for us is that we have to deal with what it is the landlord, the park, has presented to us by way of legal documentation. They've sent a letter. About the same time, they were issuing press releases saying everything is fine, there'll be a period of reprieve, but they sent a letter to us saying we're evicted, the operations of the museum are to cease, access will be controlled, and then given only for the purposes of preparing the museum collection for movement to destinations unknown. And while they've done that, what they've also, they also seem to have done is put the word out to various constituencies that are important in terms of the ongoing revenue flow of the museum. So, for example, the Department of Education has called us to say that they understand that the programs that we have underway with them are no longer possible. We also have been contacted by a wide variety of commercial entities that we're going to use in museum space. So while they've served the eviction on terms different than what they're telling the public, they've also done their best to eviscerate the financial capacity of the museum to continue.
Now, before we go any further, we should describe who they are, and they are the federal government of Canada, essentially.
Well, yes, it is the federal government. Ultimately, the level of understanding on the part of the senior end of the government in Ottawa is not at all clear, but they specifically are a crown corporation known as Parc Downsview Park, a combination of English and French, and they're run nominally as a separate entity, although they are answerable to the shareholder, and the shareholder technically is described as the Crown and Right of Canada, in other words, the federal government. So they're the landlord. They're bound to a mandate that includes ensuring a cultural quality to the park. Very recently, the federal government, in most of the Crown corporations, introduced a system where the bonus structure of the senior managers was going to be paid on the basis of money saved and money earned. And that narrowed the focus from 180 degrees to about 2 degrees for the managers. So anywhere that they weren't making a lot of money, they became less popular no matter what their cultural content. And those areas that had a chance of even earning a nickel became very popular. And so the museum was caught in crosshairs that were new in the making, so to speak.
Right, and the museum has struggled somewhat in the last year, but there was a plan to come out of that, right?
Well, no, it's more than, I mean, yes and no. It was more than a plan. The museum has struggled since its inception. It was built by volunteers about a year ago. A number of us joined the board, and when I say us, these are mostly business people from the aerospace sector, and we've been asked to join to try and assist. And what we did immediately was try and contact Parc Downsview, specifically the chairman, who appears to be incredibly out there in the public, but he wouldn't meet with us at all. We made at least a dozen requests and probably more in writing, verbally, by telephone, by email, and he ignored us from the beginning. And has never met with us. His president, however, has recently. And what the news we gave him was, while the park is, while the museum has struggled for years, we now have, for the last 3 months, got it at a point where it actually, on an operating basis, is profitable and can meet its obligations. We thought that would be good news. It turns out, though, that that was actually quite frightening to Parc Downsview because they had other plans, and if we were in compliance with the lease, those plans might not develop. And the plans specifically are to take the most important asset that we have custody of, which is the building itself for reasons I can explain, and replace it with four indoor hockey rinks. I love hockey, but we're not a country that has a shortage of hockey rinks.
Okay, and the building itself is of incredible historic value to Canada, I would imagine.
Well, it probably goes beyond Canada for those who are interested in these sorts of things. I mean, aerospace doesn't usually leave a big building footprint. This building has been the source of airplanes ranging from the gypsy moth, the mosquito, chipmunk, tiger moth. This is not in sequence, of course. Beaver, otter, twin otter. They've all come out of, and many more have come out of this little factory and gone on to the runway and had their first flights there and were made there.
And that's
And
the original, it's the original de Havilland factory built in 1929, right?
it's the original 1929 de Havilland factory. It is also the home of Spar Aerospace. Indeed, a very senior executive from Spar who's responsible for the Canada arm, among many other things, the Alouette satellite. He's on our board. His office was in the building. This building is truly the most important artifact we have. It is, and it is also, despite very carefully controlled rumors to the contrary, it is fine in terms of its condition. It's fine. It's not, there is no problem with it. It meets applicable code. It is in need of some repair, not major. The bill for that repair on a worst case is about $3 million, but very likely we're told far less than that. The park is putting out the word that it's a $20 million bring up to code requirement. It's nonsense. The $20 million would level the building except for two facades and produce a skating rink. So the building would be gone, the history would be gone, and we'd have something in its place which truly has no aerospace relevance and would eliminate something that is of value to thousands of school children and many, many thousands of visitors every year.
Where do you go from here?
Well, we're not done yet by a long shot. We're asserting the position that we're in the building as of right. We are pushing it politically and through the media as well as hard as we can. We think at a minimum, if we're going to lose, the public ought to have the opportunity to see what it is that is going to be lost as a result. The politicians in Ottawa need to have the opportunity, and I mean this quite sincerely, they need to have the opportunity to visit on the issue with their Crown Corporation and see if that's what they want done. I believe them when they say, and several have within the government, relevant government portfolio, several have said, we know nothing about any of this. These people were on an adventure of their own. We're going to take a look and make a decision as to whether to back the Crown Corporation or back the museum. And I take them at their word. So we have to be careful for the time being not to condemn the government. They may have been blindsided as badly as we have been. But the tactics that are being used by the senior managers of Park Downsview are appalling. They're appropriate to really the roughest real estate transaction being advanced by developers. They're very inappropriate from the point of view of giving the museum its due as an institution which serves the public. I mean, our job is to convey messages from ghosts to generations unborn. We have artifacts of major significance. We have archives of huge significance. We have photographic evidence that is of very large significance as well. We have rebuilding capability, restoration capability, and we have a message that ought to be delivered both by the people who currently manage it and the people that follow to a huge constituency of people. And if you're going to wipe that out, then you have to bear the responsibility for the impact, and that begins with assessing it. So we're hoping the government will do that job, and we're hoping the outcome will be a happier one, and we're going to fight like hell until we get the thing resolved.
Well, we're going to keep an eye on the story, Ian.
We hope you do.
We appreciate your time today. Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb. Thanks for listening.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine. For more on aviation safety, log on to www.aviationsafetymagazine.com.